Good morning. This is Dina Marie, host of Faith Moments and the Voice of the Shepherd, with a special Rosary moment on Mater Dei Radio. Saturday, October 1st marks the 16th annual Rosary Bowl Northwest in the Archdiocese of Portland. The event promotes praying the family rosary daily and encourages a deeper devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. Several local apostolates attend the event each year to share their common mission of prayer and enhancing a vibrant Catholic life. From the very first year in 2007, the Rosary Center has been a partner with the annual Rosary Bowl event. With me to talk about his role as director of the Rosary Center and promoter of the Rosary Confraternity for the Western Dominican Province is Dominican priest Father Dismas Sayer. Good morning, Father Dismas. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, I want to hear a little bit before we talk about the Rosary Center and the Rosary Bowl, just a little bit about your road to the Dominicans and to the priesthood. You know, what were some of the significant things that led you into the Dominican community?
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I joined the Navy right out of high school. So then I did my time and I was looking for a college to settle in, and I happened to settle at the University of Utah. They offered me the best package and scholarships and funding. So I said, hey, I'll go to Utah. I'd never seen the mountains before. So I thought, why not go someplace different? So I went there different. And interestingly enough, my mom said, well, you know, I don't want you to fall in with the Mormons, to make sure you go to church. So I went to the Newman Center there at the University of Utah, staffed by our Dominican friars. And that's where I met our Dominican friars. After some period, I discerned that I wanted to, you know, eventually join the priesthood. And it was funny, when I told my mom, she was like, well, I wanted you to get in the church, but not quite that much. Although she's so super supportive of me. So I saw the Dominicans there and I was discerning various things. And then I went to one of their come and see weekends at St. Albert's, our mother house, and our student date in Oakland, California. And I said, oh, this is it. And I fell in love with the Dominican life. And I entered in August 2000. So it's been 22 years, basically, 21 years under vows. And 14 years of priesthood.
Wow. Well, you had your birth mother and the Blessed Mother, I think, working for you to bring you into your vocation. What a gift.
Definitely, definitely. It was a lot of people praying for me at that time. So I feel very, very blessed.
Yeah. And I think it just encourages our parents who have students in colleges and universities with Newman Centers. Many of them are staffed, at least here locally in Oregon, I know, by the Dominicans. So it's nice to know these beautiful communities are working with our young people, helping them in a really fragile time. You know, just maybe a message to those young adults who are in college to stay connected with their faith.
It is, you know, it's interesting, you know, at least when we were growing up, you know, we're saying, well, college is the time to explore yourself and be yourself and all that. But nowadays, I think it's almost the opposite. There's a great pressure really, really to conform to the secular society. It's no longer about, you know, okay, you belong to your group, I belong to my group, and we all get along kind of thing. No, the people are sometimes very openly hostile to the faith in secular universities. Sometimes even some Catholic universities, you know, people are very, you know, antagonistic toward any public demonstration or proclamation of the faith. So it's really important that we find, you know, good chapels and good Newman centers there to support the students, you know, to let them know, hey, we're here in this fight for you. You know, you know who you are, you know who you belong to. Now let's do what we need to do, you know, and answer and give witness in a way, you know, that's charitable and truthful. You know, always presenting the truth and charity to those who ask our reason for hope, as the apostle says.
Mm-hmm. Father Dismas is with us, and he'll be representing the Rosary Center at Holy Rosary Parish. The Dominicans obviously are part of that beautiful community, and he'll be coming to share with us and to pray the Rosary. When you started to learn about the Dominicans, Father Dismas, as a college student, you know, what struck you in terms of their prayer life, their charism, that really drew you into this community?
It's interesting. At the Newman Center itself, many times people don't see our interior community life because it's our community life. If we have visitors all the time, then it kind of interrupts that. You can't have a, we call ourselves semi-monastic, so we can't really have a semi-monastic setting if we are having an open house all the time. So I didn't really see the interior life of the Dominicans until I went to their Come and See weekend, and then they invite me in, and there's a lot of students there as well. The community at the Newman Center at the time was fairly small. It was only two priests, so it was hard to see, the Dominican life lived as fully as it could be. But once you see everything, and then you see the young men there, the seminarians on fire for the preaching the word, and that's really what drew me in, was the preaching of the word, and how dedicated they are to that. It's we Dominicans are very much not as much founder centered, I would call it. We're not so much worried about, well, what would our founder think, what our founder think and all that. We must follow in the footsteps of our founder. We follow in the footsteps of the founder. But our founder, Saint Dominic, said, hey, get out there and preach. Get out there and preach, and the Holy Father, Pope Francis, recently commended us. We just celebrated the 800th year of the death of Saint Dominic, of his birth into heaven. And he said, well, the Dominicans are known for, doctrinal solidity. They're known for being faithful to the Holy See, and they're known for propagating their love for the Mother of God, especially through the Rosary. So that was really what drew me into the Dominicans.
Right. And we see that OP, which stands for Order of Preachers. Give us a sense, just in the beginning of this forming of the Dominicans with Saint Dominic, and then many came to join him, the importance of preaching at that time in history in terms of sharing the truth against so much opposition and heresy.
I discuss a lot of this in our new newsletter that's coming out this week. But essentially, there was a rampant heresy that Saint Dominic saw in his time, and he saw that the church in many places was kind of lax and kind of soft in many ways, living, the comfortable life, not really getting out and preaching, almost to what we encounter today in our own times. People are just like, whatever, we're going along and worrying about daily life, and even some a lot of the priests were like that. So they didn't have the power of the witness behind their preaching of the word. They weren't able to counter the heresy. And the heresy is one that we still, in some parts or in some kind of form, encounter today. It was called Albigensianism, named for the region Albi, or sometimes the Cathars for pure. That's where the root for a Greek pure, where we get the name, the nice name Catherine from. But so basically, their heresy was saying, well, we have two gods. One is of the spirit and one is of matter. The matter is the evil part. So anything made of matter, created of matter, is evil or not good at least, and must either be, we must release ourselves from it, or we must, not propagate it. So, families, were discouraged from having more children. Suicide was tolerated, at least sometimes, if not encouraged, to free us from the bonds of our bodies. And Saint Dominic encountered that, and of course, in doing that, you deny really the true Jesus, who came to us as man with flesh, that we can see and touch. It denies really the beautiful prologue of the Gospel of Saint John, where he talks about, everything, the God we've seen, the God we touch, everything that, that we say about the Word and who lived among us. John is very insistent. We saw him, we lived with him, we touched him, we heard him, we did all these things with him. And then that, of course, relates to the sacraments. There can't be material sacraments. There can't be bread, there can't be, wine, there can't be oil. None of these things would have any effect or power. Of course, we know it's the grace behind them that gives us the power, that makes the bread into the body of Christ. And for them, that would be horrific. You can't have the body. That would be, a double heresy for the heretics at his time. So he fought them, and always, with encouraging them, with charitable discussion. In one famous story, he came upon an innkeeper who was a member of this sect, and he says that he spent the whole night with him, discussing the faith and treating him, pleading with him, and eventually, helped to convert the innkeeper. The most famous statement we have about our founder is that it was said about him that he always was speaking to God or about God. So he was very focused on that mission. It was for him, it was never about him. He's at one point there were a few friars, you know, he was building all these priories and the friars gathered together, but it seemed like every time we got enough members, he would like say, okay, time to go. You know, you go here, you go there. Oh, we have these Polish, new Polish ones. We'll send Hyacinth back out to Poland and set up houses there and in Eastern Europe. So his thing was, you know, we can't let the grain rot and can't just let it sit in one place. The grain has to be scattered. The seed has to be scattered in order for, you know, for the crop, for the harvest to be really fully realized. So for us, that's always the thing. You know, we're always going out. We're not, in a sense, we're not vagabonds, but we are travelers. We, you know, we go, okay, where do we need to go to preach? And that's where we fill in.
Right. Father Dismas Sayer with us, Dominican priest, and now he is the director of the Rosary Center, which is right across the street from Holy Rosary Parish. And Father Dismas, I want to talk a little bit about that Rosary Center, what it's doing today. And obviously, we're so excited about always having the Rosary Center part of the annual Rosary Bowl event. This year, the event falls on the first Saturday of October, October 1, which is the feast of St. Therese of Lisieux. I am coming up to a break, though, so would you please hold on with me and we'll continue
sure,
our conversation in a few minutes. Great. Good morning. This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with my interview with Father Dismas Sayer. Father is a Dominican priest. He's now actually pretty new here, back again to the Rosary Center, taking on the role of the director and promoter of what's called the Rosary Confraternity. Thanks for joining me again, Father Dismas.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, give our listeners a sense of what is the Rosary Center? What's the real mission of the center and this Rosary Confraternity? How do these two work together in their mission?
Well, the Rosary Confraternity is a worldwide sodality or group of members, a loose group of members that are encouraged and, you know, we encourage each other to pray the Rosary daily. We pray the Rosary for each member. Each member prays for each other. And then we also pray for the world, the needs of the world, the needs of the church, the needs of the Holy Father, and promoting the Rosary each in our own way. So each member is encouraged and not binding under penalty of sin, you know, if they fail to pray the Rosary, but to pray the full Rosary every week and pray that for the world. And then again, we receive the prayers also of all the other members throughout the world. So in a sense, it's one of the oldest, if you could call it that, prayer groups, consistent prayer groups that we've always been praying for each other and promoting the Rosary. It's been promoted by various popes, especially Pope Leo XIII was really behind us. You know, we know him as the Pope of the Rosary, and he really sort of gave us a real push saying, you guys have to get out there and promote the Rosary. You know, people who pray the Rosary should join this Rosary Confraternity. So we pray for each other and the world, and the Rosary Center is sort of the backup behind that. So not everybody has to be a member of the Rosary Confraternity to help work with the Rosary Center, but we send the Rosary where we need to be. You know, we send the rosaries to the missions, to the prisons. We send our newsletter there, you know, and we explain the faith and we explain the Rosary. We encourage, you know, devotion to our Blessed Mother throughout this newsletter and the rosaries. You know, we get letters and requests from all over the world, and we get them from, of course, prisons throughout the United States and other places. And through, we also promote the faith, of course, through the various books and materials that we sell. You know, we don't really sell rosaries. We're not in competition with the, you know, real rosary makers, but, you know, we have volunteers throughout the United States and Canada that send us rosaries and that we send out, collect and send out throughout the world. So we're sort of the, you know, two parts. We're the devotional sodality of the confraternity of the rosary, and we're also the Rosary Center promoting the faith and especially through the praying of the rosary throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. And Father Dismas, if somebody is interested in being part of the confraternity and maybe they're saying, wow, well, we do pray the rosary every day as a family, maybe as a couple, but I've never thought about the confraternity. What would be that next step or that incentive to be part of the confraternity?
Well, you know, we have one person praying. It's It's beautiful, and God hears that, of course. But when we are all together in prayer, when we are all one continuous voice throughout the world, always praying the rosary together, in a sense, it gives us greater strength for each other. When we know we have other people praying for us, when we know we are praying for one another, as scripture says, when one member of the church is hurting, then the whole church hurts. Well, the same thing with our sodality, our confraternity. We are praying for each other, supporting each other, and then understanding that. As Our Lady of Fatima tells us, pray, 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 right? We have to pray the rosary for the world, for the peace of the world. There's so much, we have Ukraine, we have throughout Africa, the Middle East, we have all these wars, we have the persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. So we let them know, hey, we're here praying for them as well. Even if they don't feel the spiritual consolation, they still, realize that, hey, there's somebody here behind them who is thinking of them and praying for them. In a sense, we carry, in a sense, we're stronger together than we would be separate in that sense.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I know when we wanted to have this Rosary Bowl event now 16 years ago, it was gathering the people together to come together to unite our voices, to unite our prayers, that we know that there is that power when we bring communities together and pray, particularly in through Our Lady's intercession, and to really ask for the needs that we have in our own communities, in our church, in our country, and in our world. So that's really part of the mission behind the Rosary Bowl, is to bring all of these voices together. And we pray for those who can't pray with us. You mentioned those in prisons, in hospitals, those are homebound, those are sick and suffering, that we unite their prayers with us at the Rosary Bowl. And we hope people join us on the 1st of October in Salem. We're at a new location this year. It's called the East Salem Community Center. It's right across from Blanchette Catholic School, if people know that. It's easy to get to off of I-5, and the Rosary Center will be there. We have over 28 different apostolates that are coming to share their mission and their prayer ministry with us. And so, Father Dismas, for the Rosary Center and the confraternity, what are some of the things that you hope to bring with you at the Rosary Bowl that people can see and touch and experience?
Sure. Well, we'll have our some samples of our newsletters where we're, we very, very proudly, been sharing the faith and building up the faith. This month, we're focusing especially on the rosary, all the reasons behind praying the rosary. Like, well, why do we have a rosary? Why don't we just pray? Why do we have beads? Why do we do all this? Touching in great part upon, that the heresy, talking about, the beauty, really the beauty of creation. We can't deny that we too are part of God's beautiful creation. And, through those created things, we come to understand that these, through those passing things, as we sometimes hear in the prayer of the Mass, through these passing things, we may come to know those things, that are unpassing, that are eternal, that is, of course, God. But we'll bring also many of our books explaining the faith, explaining the role of Mary, explaining the historical apparitions of our Blessed Mother. And we'll bring other materials, especially, for those who want to know, okay, why or how to pray the rosary. That's really our goal, to help people, pray, to help people come to know and understand the faith. In the end, of course, to come and to know and love God more.
Right. And I just want to encourage people, especially those who have maybe in the last couple of years have come into the Catholic Church as a convert. That was me about 22 years ago. Praying the rosary was not something that we did in our home growing up. So how do you
No.
pray? How do you meditate? How do you stay focused and not distracted? All of these different people at the Rosary Bowl, like the Rosary Center, are going to help you with these great resources. So I want to encourage you to come out and to learn and explore your Catholic faith. Or if you're not Catholic, come on out, pray with
Yeah.
us and learn. This is a beautiful way for us to really learn and share our faith. One of the things I've heard over the years, Father Dismas, is that you're to preach the rosary. And that was what St. Dominic was called to do, preach the rosary. What do you mean today for our Dominicans? How do you preach the rosary?
Well, a lot of people, what they want to hear first is, okay, well, we want to hear, how does this work for me? How does this serve me? Well, we talk about all these stories, especially Father Calloway explained to the Champions of the Rosary, what effect has the rosary, real effect has the rosary had in many people's lives? And for many people, it brings them, again, a sense of peace and calm in the middle of a war-torn and strife-torn and highly politicized world now. We have to say, okay, we are centering ourselves in prayer with our Blessed Mother to come to God, to meditate on those things of God, to meditate on the beauty, of God, the life and passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus through those mysteries. We come to say, okay, we come to realize the presence of God among us. We place ourselves firmly in God's presence. And through that, we also, as various, many famous and holy people have come to say, if we pray the rosary as a family, then we grow together as a family. We grow together as a church family as well. We come together to pray the rosary, understanding, that we are sort of in that bond because, to pray and to come to God means we open ourselves to his love. We open ourselves to his call to love one another greater, to understand each other, with greater patience and peace and true charity for one another, caring for one another. As Pope Leo XIII said, some people say that, the rosary doesn't really help us to love. It's just a little pious thing that you say, or you're hoping to get some benefits from indulgences or whatnot. But no, it really opens our hearts because we enter into the life of Mary, especially in those mysteries, and say, okay, the one who said, they have no one, who showed a great concern for her neighbor, who showed a great concern for someone that she really had no incentive necessarily to help, she goes out of her way to help. So in a sense, the rosary isn't a me-focused prayer. It really opens us up really to the world. It opens up our hearts to charity. It does have great effect in the family. So that's what a lot of people who want to know about the rosary want to say, well, how does this help? It's almost like, well, how can I apply this to my life? Well, it's more in a sense, it's more general than that. But a lot of people find peace. A lot of people find strength in their faith. We have countless stories of prisoners in prisons who share the faith simply by praying the rosary in many ways. And people want to know, other prisoners want to know, what is this peace? What is this, charity that flows from? Where is that coming from? And in many ways, it comes through, the instrument of the rosary, helping those prisoners who live there in their own little monastic cells now, so to speak. And they share the faith beautifully and in many ways quietly. They're not out there, fire and brimstone preachers necessarily, but they are also great preachers. They too, in a sense, are some of our best preachers of the rosary. That's kind of how we pray the rosary and or preach the rosary. And in many, this is, what we were set up to do. We have to bring people really in contact, with God, with the God who became man. And how do we do that? We do that in a sense through the rosary, through those mysteries, really that focus on the very, very human life of our Blessed Mother and of our Lord in those mysteries.
That's right. Father Dismas with us again, director of the Rosary Center. And Father, I know there's a website with a lot of information, your past newsletters and information about the Rosary Center. How do people learn more about you?
It's very simple. Rosary Center, one word, dot org.
Rosarycenter.org. Fantastic. And Rosary Bull, NW for Northwest.org is our Rosary Bowl website. You can learn all the information about our schedule for the day, our location this year, October 1st for the Rosary Bowl. And please go visit the Rosary Center this first Saturday of the month. Again, we honor our Blessed Mother in so many ways. And one is obviously to meditate upon the life of Jesus Christ, her son. Father, thanks so much for joining us today. I look forward to seeing you at the Rosary Bowl and have a very blessed day.
You too now. I look forward to seeing everybody there.
Thanks so much.